It's not going to be miserable. Right. I have been thinking about this for some time. I didn't know. I've been reading different books and things, so I thought I'd just leave it as a talk, because it's heaven is just so big. It's just something for everybody, has their own idea, and you know, it's best if you just make your own mind up. I'll get them out of the way. A glimpse of heaven, that's how only it is. It's only a glimpse. Psalm 19, verses 1 to 4. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and the words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. That's sun, S-U-N, by the way. I don't quite know why that is, but maybe one of you will know. We'll discuss that later for tea and coffee. But have you ever wondered how big we are? I mean the earth. How big do you think the earth and the sun and the solar system and the Milky Way? If you think of Earth as a small coin, that's the size of Earth. The Sun is the size of North America. That's how small we are. I mean, that just amazes me to think that. We are so tiny when compared to what we know is our universe, our solar system, with the sun and all the planets. And yet God looks after us. And he's given us this place that we call home, Earth, the planet. Well, you well know that the Bible is full of heaven, verses about heaven. The trouble is, most of it is written imaginary form, isn't it? I can only imagine. Thinking of Jacob and Daniel, or Ezekiel. How did they understand the universe as we do today when they wrote all about it? Or even the Apostle John with the book of Revelation. Did they really understand? He had a fair bit to say, didn't he, John, about heaven. But did they really understand how we understand heaven? Or do we know all about the stars and the galaxies, even today? I bet God is laughing his socks off, if he's got any. Every time the latest satellite or telescope makes new discoveries, you can almost hear, I can almost hear, you might too as well, God and Jesus saying, wait until we show them there are other places. They haven't seen nothing yet. And just to try and get into the same character, just imagine for a minute, you're sitting here in these seats, every single one of us are, and the earth is spinning round and round at 1,000 miles per hour. 1,000 miles per hour it's spinning round on its axis. It's also travelling round the sun, the orbit round the sun in the solar system, at 67,000 miles per hour. And we are just sat here, oblivious. You know, you might have read about the two astronauts recently. They've been on the news. They've been stuck up in space in the International Space Station. They're travelling round the Earth in that space station at 5 miles per second. That's pretty fast. I don't know how they're feeling, whether it puts them off their dinner or what, I don't know. But I just thank God for gravity, that we can just be sat here. And all of that speed and revolutions and all of it makes you dizzy to think about it. And it happens every day of our lives. We just take it for granted. Because we have a mighty God. His place is huge. beyond our comprehension. What a great God we have. The heaven, or the heavens that I want to talk about, are the ones we cannot see. Well, at least not until we leave our earthly bodies and join Jesus in paradise. I started to think about this, you know, months and months ago, and it was amazing how many people that we know of, in family and friends and what have you, and acquaintances, even on the, I saw today, you will probably know him, a young man called Saul Bamba, this fellow now. I saw him play at Middlesbrough, and he's a lovely man, 39 years of age, but he's died. He's just gone. We never know. You don't really know, ever know, when it's your day to come. Philippians 3, verse 20. But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Saviour. We're citizens of heaven, but right now we're sat on earth in our bodies waiting for Jesus to come, because we know when Jesus comes, everything will get sorted. Before we take up residence in heaven, there's a little matter of life and death to be sorted out. As I said, we are already citizens in God's kingdom, but at the moment, we all live in rusty, crumbly, decaying things that we call bodies. And let's face it, that's what no matter how hard we try, that's what's happening to our bodies. But even less people talk about dying than they do about heaven. We know many people have weird ideas about heaven, especially when they have lost loved ones. Why do we even say lost? God knows exactly where everyone is, alive or dead, as the cowboys would say. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. For we know that when this earthly tent we live in is taken down, that is, when we die and leave this earthly body, we will have a house in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. Here in the UK, in the West, we are fixated with staying alive, not the Bee Gees song, much more than people in third world countries. If you've ever lived in a third world country, and I have spent a bit of time there, 10 or 11 years, they seem to have a more realistic approach to life and death. But I think often it's because they've got no choice. They've got very little health care in Africa. Very little medical aid gets through to them. And even their own lifestyle choices mean that they don't live as long as we do. They live perhaps as long as our ancestors used to, and before we got very good at staying alive. But we Westerners, it's all about a quality of life, isn't it? A better quality of life. You've got to have a healthy diet, plenty of exercise to keep that old age at bay. Well, last Monday we had an old friend of Anne's come just over for the day. She's 88. She looks very well. She looks fine. She's okay. She looks like you would expect a person of 88 to look. And she's quite had a great time with Anne, chatting away, reminiscing about their days in Girl Guides and all of that. She told me that her son had recently been to see her. And he stayed a few days, and did up her house a bit, you know, like sons do. But he wants her to stop eating all the things that she's eating at the moment. He's identified that she's eating all the wrong things. He wants her to have a healthier diet. And I just said to her, well, will it improve your life, your quality of life right now at 88? You know, it's just how people do things, isn't it? It's crazy. Woody Allen, you might have heard of him, famously said, I'm not afraid of death, I just don't want to be there when it happens. You get the idea. But that rings a bell with all of us. We're all afraid. You could put down that you're afraid of the process of death. You just don't want to be there, do you? More importantly, from a Christian viewpoint, D.L. Moody, the famous theologian and speaker, said towards the end of his life, "Someday you will read in the papers, D.L. Moody of East Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now." Colossians 3, verses 1 to 3. "Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory." Well, that's good to know, isn't it? It's easier said than done, though, isn't it? Much easier to think about that and then forget about it because, oh, the reality is I'm living on earth and everything I see and do. We're flesh and blood. Everywhere we walk, everything that hits our senses and our eyes, everything that influences is physical. Everything around us. But to see heaven, you can't look at the stars and like I've described and all that. You can be a great, whatever they're called, astronomers, and see all that. And you'll get an idea. You might get a better idea than I have. But you won't see heaven or heavens as God. You can only imagine that from what we know, from what the Bible says, and sometimes from what people who are near death tell you about it. And some of that makes really good sense. We don't know. So let me finish talking about death by reading a poem, by Bishop Brent. This is just to do with the dying part of it. We're going to get onto the heaven bit. What is dying? I am standing on the seashore. A ship sails on the morning breeze and starts for the ocean. She is an object, and I stand watching her till at last she fades from the horizon. And someone at my side says, "She is gone." Gone where? Gone from my sight, that is all. She is just as large in the masts, hull and spars as she was when I saw her. The diminished size, the total loss of sight, is in me, not in her. And just at that moment, when someone at my side says, "She is gone," there are others who are watching her coming. And other voices take up a glad shout, "Here she comes!" And that is dying. Well, I did say it was just a poem, but I think it gives us a great view of what will happen to all of us. Someone else said there are only two certain things in life, death and taxes. So let's just talk about heaven. What is heaven going to be like? Well, first, there is more than one heaven. There is heaven now, and Jesus called it paradise. And then there is a new heaven to come, with a new earth, as John said in Revelation. Some theologians amongst us might say that there are the heavenlies. That's mentioned in the Bible too. I'm going to keep this to the heaven now. Paradise. John 14, verses 2 to 3. "There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am." God and Jesus are at home in paradise, heaven. Their home is full of places, rooms, mansions, all kinds of accommodation. Anne is hoping for a tree house when she gets there. I would like to play golf there. I think Anne's got more chance than me. I imagine that God has, this is my imagination, I imagine that God, from what I've been reading, thinking, I imagine that God has got a war room in heaven. It's where all his generals gather around a big, large, huge table with a map of the world on it. And they are pushing their armies of angels here and there, wherever the troubles are in the earth. They usually, do you remember that? You must have seen old war films where you see them all pushing the things around in Churchill's bunkers, arranging things. My point is, the reason for me saying that is that God is at war in heaven. A third of his angels, what they call the fallen angels, left to be on the side of Satan. So there are spiritual battles going on. We don't know anything, we don't see them as such in the physical, but things are happening all the time. Spiritual things are happening. And there's a battle going on. Outside God's war rooms, the heavenly places that you all want to be in, really, as my imagination, there'll be all of those people who have died before us, who have gone to heaven, the great cloud of witnesses that we hear about in the Bible, that sing praises to our God all the time. But I don't think personally that heaven is some big Sunday skirt service, you know, some big Sunday church service in a big auditorium. I think heaven's far more than that. Well, I hope and believe it is. It's going to be more glorious than anything we can imagine or dare to dream. I mean, just imagine this. You'll have a new body. Might be 33 years old. Some say you'll be the same age as what Jesus was when he died. Who knows? There'll be no more pain, like the song said, the scars on his hand. There'll be no more bad thoughts or mental turmoil. There'll be no more sadness at what happened in your past. Things that you might still carry around, even little things, even, or big things that happened in your past. That won't be there. That won't be in heaven. No pain, no bad thoughts, no scars. I don't know what else we might find in heaven. I know it will only be full of believers. There will be no more doubt, no more quarrels or arguments about who is right or wrong. We shall all know the truth and be glad of our decision to follow Jesus. We shall see Jesus face to face in all his glory. I think there will be things for us to do there as well. I'm still not sure how we'll all fit it in, get around, meet people from thousands of years ago, how many of our questions will get answered at once. But one thing we will have is eternity. We will have all the time in the world. We won't be in time. And we won't be in the world. Well, not straight away, but that's another talk. Another thing I do know about heaven, my personal knowing, it's not far away. I mean, I know I've put the picture here, the steps leading up to heaven, for a glimpse of heaven, but even as I put it, and afterwards I thought I'd leave it there and just explain. I know the Bible talks about steps and Jacob's steps and things like that, but I don't think we have to think of heaven as being a place to climb up to, in the sense of heaven, being a place that we go down to. I don't think it's like that. Maybe there's a parallel universe, do you know what I mean? Maybe it's just but it's just over here. And we can't see it because we're in earthly bodies. I mean, if God met Adam in the cool of the day, in the Garden of Eden, for a chat and a walk around, a stroll about, well, it can't be that far away, can it? Heaven can't be far if God can just chip and be there. Or you and I will be able to go and be there. When we're not here, I'm not right now. Heaven, for me, is just there. We go there when we die. It would be wonderful. No regrets. You can't regret anything in God's presence. You won't have any regrets about anything in your life. I believe heaven's a waiting place. We're waiting for the time when Jesus will rule on earth with us. Help him. That's another time, another story. But I did say this was a glimpse of heaven. You know, this waiting room, I think there must be like a waiting room. I'm not saying it's a waiting room in time, because it's not in time. But it's not, there's going to be a new heaven. So the heaven where everybody is at the moment, paradise, Jesus called it, that's going to be done away with, as the earth is, and there's going to be new ones. I don't know how we all get there. I don't even know how I get it from here yet. So to conclude, heaven is a wonderful place to go to after this short time in our earthly bodies. It will be full of good things to do and see. We're going to meet many characters from the Bible, from history, and from our own lives. It will be marvellous to worship God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in the fullness of truth and love. Fullness. None of us have the full answer to that, do we? Not right now. But we will have to probably die first. But for the joy set before us and the crown of righteousness that we are going to wear, it will be thoroughly worth it. So let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen.